I used to see, when I was an agent on my way up, this is not when I was big, I'm talking, I was still doing like 38 deals there. Put that in perspective, normal year for me, I'd do that every month. But understand, I remember looking at Mike Mendoza's stuff. At that time, Mike was over at Mountain Park Ranch, and when he left Realty Executives, he was the number one Realty Executive agent in the world. When he joined Keller Williams, the day he joined KW, Mike was the number one Keller Williams agent in the world. He's now went down the list, but my point is, very successful guy. I figured I was going to see some real snazzy stuff when I saw Mike's stuff. I looked at it and it looked like crap to me. I thought I must be looking at old stuff. No, I was looking at his current stuff. It was crap. That's why it looked like crap. But it didn't matter. He was first in a category. He started farming Mountain Park Ranch when the builder hadn't sold all the houses in there yet. People had just moved into a brand new. There had been no resale homes in Mountain Park Ranch when Mike Mendoza started there. He was first. He's the go-to guy. And he owned that position for years. And it wasn't until he started buying Keller Williams offices and owning companies and fiddling around that he lost focus and he let other people push him out. Carol Royce was the number one over there. But the point I'm getting at is you can own an area, but you have to work at it. But first is always the most important.
Yes, sir. I might have missed it, but
louder.
Sorry, when you're doing these routes and determining farming areas, how do you determine that someone's got a stronghold in the market? I mean, obviously, that's
a lot of work. The question is, how do you determine if someone has a stronghold on the market? My answer is, it's a lot of work. If you go to Custom House, I can't remember the name of the website, but Custom House Publishers, off their link, if you were signing up for a Custom House paper, they have a link to a site called Melissa Data. I don't remember exactly how to get there, except I use a link from Custom House to get there.
What
and
is
from
it?
Melissa Data.
Melissa Data?
Melissa Data is what you're looking for. And you can go in, enter a zip code, then pull it up, and you can do, from Melissa Data, you can do a carrier route study. And then what we do, you can have a browser open for that carrier route, and we will have another browser open at Armless, and we would find a listing in that place, like we would find something on that street bracket, and pull it up. And then from there, pull up everything in that whole area and see who had listings there, who had sales there. Before I took 85032, we took one line printouts, making one of the lines the agent's name, and we simply did all the actives, all the solds for the whole year. Just pulled them up one at a time and go, does anyone own a piece of this? Is anyone dominant in here? When we found me, when the answer was yes, we skipped that area. When the answer was no, we took that area.
Areas how big? Streets, neighborhoods?
Well, it's going to depend. This is going to be a bit of a judgment. I don't have some fantastic formula here, but if you go into a little neighborhood and you go, so-and-so seems to sort of own that, well, go around them. You're going to spend, if it's just different if you're calling on your friends. If you go, well, my best friend lives here, well, put them on your mailing list and call them every day. But if you're talking about mailing to strangers, no, don't waste money if someone else has a stranglehold on. You had to go here.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the percentage you said on the, to determine if they had a stranglehold on?
I don't have a certain number.
No.
If they seem like an agent seems dominant,
okay.
It's based on how many. You know, you get around 10% of the area, when you have 10% of the market, that tells me almost everyone in that neighborhood knows who they are. So, I don't want them. I'll go around them.
What was that marketing book?
The 22, number 22, Laws of Marketing by Al Rees, R-I-E-S, and Jack Trout, D-R-O-U-T. I think it's the most important book on marketing ever written.
You blog, and I didn't finish your blog about the 100 day.
Uh-huh.
But can you explain that?
On the blog, if you go to number one home agent, one of my posts is the 100 day trick. It's about is buried now. If you go find it there, it's on the front page of number one home agent. We have to go down a ways to get it. It's called the 100-day trick. Interesting thing about this business is the money you're collecting right now is from the work you did 60 to 90 days ago. The work you're doing now will determine your paycheck for November and December. It is an interesting thing about this business is if you try to pay, remember I said on stats when I was answering a question of yours on statistics, that a stat that you're going to want to focus on is number of new contacts, comparing those stats. Because if you try to make the main stat you're keeping track of, amount of cash earned, or number of new escrows this week, you're gonna wreck yourself. See, it's different. I don't even track escrows by the week. Seriously, I don't bother. And by the time I'm tabulating what I closed in a month, it's a done deal anyway. It wouldn't be something I could change at that point. But there's other numbers that matter more. If there's certain numbers, like, let's pretend that there's a certain thing. If you did that certain thing, you always did it, you did it right, you would always be getting plenty of escrows. You would always have plenty of money. Understand? That's what you want to be monitoring. That's what you want to be on top of all the time. And that has to be something you can control. So if I said to you, you have to have a new escrow this week, can you control that? Seriously. I can't. We will have new escrows. We maybe have 10, 20 of them. But my point is, I don't have control over when they occur. We take a listing. Sometimes I'll have a listing sit for 60 days, no one wants it, and all of a sudden three people want to buy it. I don't control that. We have a slight control over by bringing the price down. What if the seller won't budge? And we still wind up selling anyway. Understand? Now, there's a point here. I cannot control if this stuff goes into escrow. And I don't control when it closes. And I don't even control what closes. What's your fallout rate? 10%?
No, it's a little more now, short sales.
Okay.
I would say 20.
About 20%, so it's back up to when the subprime people. So, under a normal market, every 10 deals you put into escrow, 9 will close. Right now, my pattern follows the title company pattern. See, because we do short sales, we do that stuff, so we're going to have 80% of them close. So you're not going to have all. So I remember one time teaching a class, this is about 20-some years ago. I had a guy who goes, well, I've never had a deal fall out of escrow. I said, how many deals have you done? He goes, 3.